Pastor Brian. Thank you, worship team. Great to have you back this morning with us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. God has a purpose for miracles. God doesn't just send a miracle for no purpose at all. He always has a purpose behind the miracles. And we see today in our scripture that God has a purpose for these miracles. Think about it. We just studied the whole book of Matthew verse by verse. We went through the whole gospel of Matthew. Recount all the miracles that we have record of. Even Jesus' birth, a virgin birth, that was a miracle. All of the things that happened in Jesus' sinless life, miracle. When he began his ministry and the Holy Spirit come down in form of a dove and God speaks from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Come on, miracle. Through Jesus' ministry, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Why? To prove that he was Messiah. See, there's purpose behind even the death, the burial, and resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, all miracles. Miracle after miracle. But Jesus passed that miracle on, miracle working ability on to the apostles. And today we see the church now, the first recorded miracle that we have that the apostles done. Now, we understand that they were there with the 120, the apostles and the others, there when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Flames of fire set upon them, and they began to speak with the different languages, exalting and praising God, all miracles. And people heard them speaking and exalting God in their own language. What was the purpose behind that? Because a crowd gathered thousands so that Peter could preach the gospel to them. God has purpose in miracles. God does nothing by accident. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. God has purpose behind the miracles. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So what we're going to find here in the book of Acts is that the early church there in Jerusalem continued to go to the temple to worship. They had not been kicked out of the temple yet. These Jews thought it was okay to continue to go to the temple to worship. Why? Because Jesus was Messiah. They knew who Jesus was as Messiah. So as we begin in the book of Acts, we'll see that they're continuing to go into the temple. We're thinking, well, they're not Jews anymore. They're not practicing Judaism anymore. They're Christians. Why are they going to the temple? Because they saw themselves as Christians, yes, but that Jesus was truly the Messiah. And the more they were at the temple, the more they could proclaim Christ as Messiah, the more people would come together under the banner of Christ. So in the text this morning, we're going to read where they're going to the temple. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." and he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Walk. And seizing him by the hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. Let's pray together. Father God, there are so many things in your word that we find amazing. God, even this first recorded miracle of the apostles. Lord, let us not just brush over this, but God, that all the miracles that you do for your people are for a reason and for a purpose. Help us to see, God, your mighty hand at work. When we open ourselves up for the moving of your Holy Spirit, mighty things do happen. Get our mind into the scripture, away from all the things in our troubled world. Grow us where you want us to be at today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the purpose of the church is to finish the work that Jesus Christ had began. He began it and he left it behind for us. And that's the purpose Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to fill these believers and to seal these believers in order to do the work Christ has for us to do. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there are a lot of things in this world that's meant for you and for me to accomplish in the name of Jesus. Good works that were created beforehand. So God has prepared works for us, and he wants to prepare us for those works which the Holy Spirit will do through us. So oftentimes we just worry about what God wants to do in us. Oh yes, that's where it starts. It should be in us, but not only in us, it also should go through us to the things that he has left for us to do. So in the text this morning, we read about a wonderful miracle of God. It truly is a wonderful miracle of God. And he uses Peter and John, these apostles, there for this miracle. And the purpose of this miracle is to bring glory to God, first of all, and for the gospel to be proclaimed. We think it's just for the benefit of this man who had his legs healed. Well, he benefited from the goodness of God and the grace of God. But listen, all miracles are to glorify God, and doing so that the gospel message would be preached to a world who needs to hear about grace and forgiveness and judgment. That's what we'll see next week, is a message that Peter preached. So verse 1 and 2 says, and now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man had been lame from his mother's womb and being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. What a place to sit down and beg, huh? Going into church. So now Peter and John were going into the temple, verse 1 says. So Peter and John were both commissioned to be apostles by Jesus Christ. And the early Christians recognized their authority as given by Christ. Because we're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now we have a specific example. So we're told that many signs and wonders were taking place. Here's a specific example for us. And if you remember over in Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to minister. Verse 7 in that chapter, Mark 6, says this, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, gave them authority over unclean spirits." And verse 12 and 13 says, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." So these apostles had already been a part of these miraculous works which Christ did through them. Jesus gave them out. That was part of their training, to go out two by two into the community, into the area, and Jesus gave them the ability to heal and to cast out demons. So here in the text this morning, Peter and John, who had been friends for a long time, they were actually fishing partners, if you go back into Luke chapter 5, man, they're going to the temple to pray. And God is about to work through them in a miraculous way. It says, "And at the ninth hour," the hour of prayer. You have to understand, in God's sovereign, divine, providential plan, He knows all things and sets all things in motion. It happened to be at this particular time that God had a miracle waiting for a particular man, and all for a particular purpose. So the apostles just went there to pray, man. There was their private time of prayer. So the apostles were obviously continuing a Jewish custom of prayer at certain hours of the day. 3 p.m. is the ninth hour. The Jewish tradition would give them the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. Third hour being 9 o'clock in the morning, sixth hour being 12 o'clock, and then the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. And each day, these times were private prayer. So here they were. They were no longer following Judaism. They were believers following Christ as the Messiah, but they still held on to that precious prayer time between them and God. So that practice that of prayer time passed on to these early Christians. And here they were abiding by that as a common practice. But we don't want to miss God's providential hand in all of this, as He appointed Peter and John to go to the evening prayer this time. So God had a divine appointment with this man. He was to heal and to save. And it was His providential plan for a miracle to open up the opportunity to earn the right to share the gospel with all who would gather around. How often do we pray for God to bring a healing or God to do a miracle in the situation that we're in, but we're praying very selfishly? We want it just for us. We want it for just our family. We want this to be done for, wait a minute. The purpose of a miracle is not to fulfill your selfish desires and your selfish wishes. What does God want to do through you and in you for a particular purpose and reason? Oh, we pray so selfishly sometimes. See, the ninth hour also held a significance for these apostles, because it was also the hour that Jesus died on the cross. In John 19, verse 30, Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Just a little side note there for you. So verse 2 says, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb had been carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. This guy had the best seat in the house to collect money. Man, that was the doorway going into the temple, and it's called the Gate Beautiful. How much better can you get than having the best seat in the house at the Gate Beautiful? So a man who had been lame from his mother's womb being carried there. Acts 4, verse 22 records that this man was more than 40 years old now. He had been lame for over 40 years. Get that. He had been lame for over 40 years. He just simply wanted financial support to aid him in his condition. He wasn't even looking to be healed. He was just wanting financial support to aid him in the situation that he was continuing in. So day after day, relatives or friends would carry this lame man to his spot. Oh, he was Jewish, but he must have had some Baptists in him somewhere. Well, that's my spot. Somebody sit in my chair. You want to upset a Baptist, sit in the chair that he normally or she normally sits in every Sunday? It's not their chair. All of them belong to the Lord. You can sit in anyone you want to. But this lame man, he was only surviving in his place of begging. And that really became his comfort zone. It's better for him to be begging, yeah, for support in this really great location, but man, God had so much more waiting for him. Where he was located at the Beautiful Gate. The Beautiful Gate is also known as the Gate of Nicanor. And it's facing the east in the temple. James, we have that picture, the gate. This is it. And it's beautiful, man. It's well traveled up and down. So he was collecting pretty good for himself. There's a strong tradition of almsgiving there here in the temple because the Jews believe it was an act of righteousness. So, man, he's sitting at the gate, beautiful, it's well-traveled, and the Jews were pretty generous at almsgiving because they thought it was a form of righteousness. A little panhandling for the guy. And man, this Gate Beautiful was a spectacular sight. It really was. The Jewish historian Josephus writes that 9 of the temple gates were completely overlaid with gold and silver, as were also the doorposts. But one, this one, outside of the sanctuary there, was of Corinthian bronze. Beautiful. Matter of fact, it said that when the sun would come up, it would shine on this Corinthian bronze and just illuminate. Matter of fact, Josephus goes on to say the beautiful gate is 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. And it took 20 men to open and close it. Tell me this guy didn't have a primary real estate there for begging. This lame man was placed there each day for many years, only surviving off the alms he collected day after day after day. So a few thoughts about this man there begging daily. As many times as Jesus went to the temple, he never healed him. He had been going there probably almost his whole life. He's over 40 years old. I would say at least since he was 10 years old. And Jesus had been going in and out of the temple, and he never healed him. Jesus had to pass him. I think Jesus, sovereign in power and omniscient, he's creator walking there among his creation in his universe. He knew this man, and he knew healing was coming to him, but not yet. Not yet. Jesus walked by this man day after day after day that he would go visit the temple, and the man was still there. Everybody knew him. It's as if Jesus passed by full of compassion with this thought, "Sir, you have a miracle on the way, but not yet." Man, in Jesus' providential plan, the apostles would be the one to give this lame man his miraculous healing. It wasn't going to be him in the flesh doing it. It was him working through his apostles to bring this man healing. Why didn't Jesus just heal him? Just a brush of his garment. Just a shadow, just a spoken word, anything. Why didn't Jesus heal him? Because Jesus had a miracle for him with a purpose in mind. Now you think about your life. All the things that you may have experienced or will experience. How is God working in those things for your good, but for his glory and for a purpose? This dude had been there years, brought in and out daily, and he had to wait on his miracle. He had to wait. His answer was just not yet. Not yet. See, each miracle of God has a purpose with it. Miracles accompanied the preaching of the gospel to earn the right among the people for them to listen to the message. The miracle earns the right for the gospel to be validated and the people's hearts open to receive the message of Jesus Christ as Savior. Why do we do missions? Why do we go into a place and we'll bring food or blankets or we'll do disaster relief or whatever it may be? Why do we do those things? Some people would say, well, to relieve the suffering of those who don't have. Well, you're partially right. We do missions that way to earn the right in those people's lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we do anything less, if all we're doing is feeding people, all we're doing is bringing them blankets, you know what we're doing? We're feeding them, their tummies are full, they're warm at night, but we're patting their backs all the way to hell. Because although we did good for them, still lost if we don't present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 through 6 is, so he saw Peter and John. So here the lame man sees Peter and John. They're about to go into the temple and he began asking to receive alms. Verse 4, but Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. man, they made eye contact with this beggar. If you know anything, if you've ever been at a red light or a stop sign and there's been someone homeless holding up the little cardboard sign, you ever find yourself not making eye contact with them? Why? You know why eye contact means you're going to give them something. Eye contact means you have money for them. So they'll come up to the car window and look at you. You know what I mean. Well, here they are, the Peter and John make eye contact with him. And he tells them, look at us. So I imagine this guy is getting excited. He's about to make a donation, and there's two of them. Double the money as they're going in to the temple. Because this unnamed beggar, he had to get excited, man. And he began to give them his attention, verse 5 says, expecting to receive something from them. So when this man, this lame man there gave, you know, he returned the eye contact with Peter and John. He maybe even extended his hand, or if he had a little cup, something to collect money with. He probably was on the floor down below them, extending his hand up, looking for them to put some coins, some gold and silver in, copper. Just waiting, thinking that he's going to get a little bit more for survival. Listen, maybe for you've been stuck in a place like this lame man. In your life, you've been stuck there spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever you're going on. Maybe life has been unfair to you. You're just working life the best that you can. That's what he was doing. He was just doing the best that he could. Surviving. Some days you feel like you're keeping your head above the waves, and other days you feel like life is pulling you under. You're only surviving. You wonder why God has passed you by so many times. You prayed for God to bring relief, for God to bring healing, for God to get you in this situation, to get you out of this. You prayed and you wondered why you're still there. Waiting. Believe that you set yourself in the best position to hold your hand out for a hand up. And so far, it's only been crumbs. You're just surviving. Listen, take heart. Listen, take heart. Your struggle, your troubles, and your trials are part of your journey. These come to a point, listen, these come to point you to Jesus and refine your faith in him. Read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. And when you finish reading it, read it again. That there are troubles and trials meant for you. Why? Because that is the only way God gets your attention to do something in you. And when he's doing something in you, he wants to do something through you. So why hasn't God freed you from your situation? Because if it's a situation God designed for you, then he will keep you there until what he wants done in your life is complete. You don't quit through half the lesson. You don't quit. Now, if you're in a difficult situation because of your stupid decisions, which probably, if we were honest with ourselves, that's why we're in those situations. It may be the consequences of our choices that we're dealing with. Yet there's hope. There's hope. You see, when we come to Christ with that, and we admit that this is the error that we failed, this is the sin that we have, Lord, forgive me. God begins to teach us from our lessons. And we see God working in us to move us past our failures, past our dumb decisions. All those, he moves us past that. And he works in us even through our dumb choices. And we can look back and we can really quote to ourselves Romans 8:28. For in all things, God works for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. Even in our, even in those bad decisions we made, in those sinful decisions we made, listen, there are consequences that follow them. Man up or woman up, that's your consequences. You were warned, but here you are. But there's still hope. And God will do in you what he wants to do even through your failures. Don't linger in the pain. Don't wallow in the self-pity there. Listen, Christ can set you free if you trust him and leave that life of selfishness to pursue him. When you quit wallowing in it, it's amazing how God begins to show you the way that he wants. As long as you wallow in your past and wallow in your self-pity, you're like a dog chasing his tail, just going around and around and around and around. You ever see a dog chase his tail? He wants to catch it, but when he does, it's painful because he nips it. I've seen a dog chase his tail like that. I don't know why it just occurred to me. I seen a dog chase his tail like that, and he finally caught the tail, and he bit it, and he... Yeah, you see, when we wallow in our pain, if we finally catch ourselves, it's going to hurt. The things God has for you, listen, are far better than the selfish things that you chose to chase after, looking for some temporary relief or pleasure. God has something far better, and he's going to point you to it. But he wants you to learn the lessons that you went through. Verse 6, but Peter said, I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. Peter didn't have any money to give to this beggar, but Peter did have the authority from Jesus Christ to heal him. So we saw that Peter had already been used and John had already been used by God when he was training back over there in Mark 6, but also in Luke 9, verse 1 through 6. Same account. Peter and John, under the power and the permission of the Holy Spirit, gave this lame man something greater than a few coins. They gave him the power of Jesus that healed him and transformed his life completely. So then the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, walk, verse 7 says, and seizing him by the right hand. Man, Peter just reached down there and grabbed him by the right hand. You know that Peter had the anointing on him. He had the gift of faith to reach down and grab this man by the arm, knowing that Jesus had already healed him. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. It was a bold move to take the man by the hand and lift him to his feet. Peter did all of this, listening under specific promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. Because I wonder how many times those guys passed by this man too. Never made eye contact with him. But at this day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, God had a divine appointment with him. We don't have any money for you, but let me give you Jesus. Peter received the gift of faith, a supernatural ability to trust God in particular situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 tells us this. To another, these spiritual gifts, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Man, these apostles, the gift of faith to trust God to do a miracle that they knew they couldn't do in their own power. So God gave Peter the supernatural ability to trust him, to do for this lame man something completely out of the ordinary here. And immediately, verse 7 says, his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Now, Luke, writing this, was a physician, and the Greek words that he used there were really kind of like medical terminology. And he's the only one who uses these Greek words to indicate his distinction between the different parts of the human heel. That was really unique. Verse 8 says, with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And this describes the sudden coming together of his ankle, the sockets of his ankle. It's amazing when you go back into Greek and you start looking at those words, how, man, it just brings color to life in God's word. Because we just say, well, he got healed, he walked, he stood up. No, man. The words that Luke chooses there, it just shows coming together this miracle. And he leaped from to his feet. It's not that Peter pulled him that hard. Man, he leaped up. Verse 8 says, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This dude was excited. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. The same people that went to temple that morning, who passed right by, may have dropped a few coins in his, but they had been seeing him for years. Same man, probably knew his name. Scripture doesn't give us a name, and I'm glad, because we don't want to make it about him. We want to make it about the Lord. It's always about Christ. Listen, when God does something in your life, it's not about you. It's not about how you work so hard for it. It's not about anything that you can do in your own power and your own ability. Quit making it about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. I'm glad they didn't name this man. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who had sat by the gate, sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. That next picture of that portico with all the columns, that's the portico of Solomon. So he went from the gate beautiful in the front. Peter and John had already walked over to the portico, and the crippled man was walking with them, completely healed, leaping and praising God. He went to the temple walking, leaping, praising God. Man, can you imagine the excitement and the joy in this man's soul? He wanted to be healed from day one. For 40 years, all those years, he saw the other kids go play. He couldn't play. He couldn't help around the house. He couldn't go outside and work with his dad. The only thing he could do during those days in the condition he was in was to go beg for money. Excitement. He was walking, leaping, exalting God for this physical and spiritual transformation in his life. Man, that caught the people's attention. Because they recognized him from being that lame man. It's like, could you imagine the gospel going around church that day? Good. Wait, wasn't he the one at the door? He'd been there for years. I think his name's Charlie. I don't know what his name is. Just the talk around, the excitement of this man who they'd been seeing year after year after year after year, suffering unfairly of no part of his own. And here he is, miraculously healed. This man is completely healed. It's a miracle. And they were in awe and they were amazed at what had taken place. Man, notice something. The miracle, listen, as special and as spectacular as it was the method to validate the gospel message of Jesus Christ that the apostles proclaimed. It wasn't to exalt them. It wasn't to send more money to them. It wasn't so they can buy a new airplane. It wasn't for them to get a new camel. It wasn't for their life comforts, to build a bigger house, to be a big, no. It was all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the miracle that God had just worked through him was for that man's good. Remember, Jesus could have done this years before. He's got a plan. Next week, we look at the plan. Next week, we look at the message. But here, what he did was, because the people saw with awe and amazement, what's that last verse say? They came running to circle around there. They were wondering about this miraculous event. What did the Holy Spirit do? Prompted Peter to begin to preach Jesus to the crowd. Listen, whatever you're going through, God cares for you. God is not ignoring you. God cares for you. And he will use in his providential time what you're going through to bring out good for you and bring glory to his name. So, Brother Kevin, I hear you say that, but so-and-so had this disease, and you know, we prayed hard and we wanted God to bring that divine miracle, and they passed away. Well, they got the greatest miracle of all. Do you want to be healed temporarily and then die? I don't want to live life suffering, but if I'm suffering for Jesus Christ, let life go on. Because I know there's coming a day when all that suffering will be gone. And we're standing together around the throne, exalting the one who gave us life. And we'll look back at all the things that we went through in this life, and you will say, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. What we go through in this life for the cause of Christ, it's worth it all. Whatever you're going through, and you've not gotten your miracle yet, your miracle's on the way. But exalt Jesus every day. Let him be the focus of your life. You may not receive it like you want it right now, but it's not all about you. It's all about what God is doing in you through this divine time that he's given you in this life to do something wonderful, to do something great. He'll do something good in you and through you and for you for his glory. God is patient. God is long-suffering with us. Sometimes we don't understand what we're going through. Listen, all of that, lean in on to Christ. Lean in on him. Lean in on him. Because he's allowed you to go through this. Not that you can stand on strong on your own two feet. Is that he breaks you and shows you who you are so that you trust him even more to carry you through it to the very end. Oh, listen, that miraculous day for this lame man came. But it was not just to heal him. It was not a selfish thing because Jesus could have done it before. No, it was all for a timing and a purpose. I don't know what you're going through or have been or what you will encounter 5 years from now should the Lord tarry and leave you here. But always know this, what you're going through, God has given permission for it to happen. And he wants to do something divine in you and through you. Because somebody else out there needs to hear the gospel. Every miracle happens for a purpose, for a reason. And it's not just for our good. It's that someone else will see what God is doing in us. That the gospel message could be transported to them, given to them, spoken to them. Oh, I would rather live a life of agony so that one soul would be saved from eternal hell. Lord, give me strength to live that life all for your glory. Let's pray together. Father God, many times we've asked ourselves why we have to go through things in life and we just don't understand. Lord, we try to live a life that is pleasing to you, and sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves because, Lord, we think things should be better. Thank you for being patient with our ignorance. Lord, thank you for being patient and loving to us through our time that we get so irritated and so frustrated. We want you to step in. But God, remind us that it's all for a purpose and a reason. Lord, I pray today that you are exalted and glorified through your children, through your people. Wherever they are in life and whatever they're experiencing, whatever they're going through, God, that you are the one that is magnified. Lord, should you give us a miracle right now? Resolve the issues that we're going through. God, we praise you. We pray for that. God, that's our desire. We speak our desire to you. But also, God, give us faith. Your word says that we go through these things so that our faith will be refined, 1 Peter chapter 1. So that our faith would be refined. Refine our faith, Lord. Have your way in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be here.